So what animal is mentioned in the movie Moneyball that Billy Bean, the main character, is compared to? We have a gorilla, a chimpanzee, a baboon, or a monkey? Patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
We got criticism for you in our comments section claiming to be the center of Canada last week.
Oh, did we?
Yeah, we got some Manitobans who are coming for you, Garth.
I said, and you can go back to the episode, I said, just down the road is the center point of the Trans-Canada Highway. I did not say we are geographically the center of Canada. So,
all right, fair enough. Backing it up with facts, I'll
all
give you that.
All you Manitobans that are watching right now, get your knickers out of a knot or whatever. If that's your claim to fame and you need that, by all means, you can have it.
All right, we got a couple things to talk about. We're going to talk the Bo Bichette contract extension. We're going to talk some ways the MLB can improve its marketing, because that's always been a gripe of probably every baseball fan in the world. Yes. I do want to, before we get into that, shout out Trivia Night on our Patreon. Trivia Night on our Patreon coming up at the end of February, February 28th. Poll went out to the Patreon. Lots of people voted. I think close to 30 votes on that. Moneyball is what we're doing this week. 78% voted for Moneyball.
Joel's going to be ecstatic.
Joel's going to help me write the questions. I'm telling you that right now. Ian won the first round of Moneyball. We did Major League. Got himself a nice fitted cap out of that. So congratulations there. Reminder, we are doing a running tally all season long. So any months you get into at the start of the season here are going to help you win the big grand prize in December. And a Blue Jays jersey and some stuff like that. But prizes every month as well. Okay. I got ChatGPT to help me write a question. Are you ready for this?
Okay. I am.
So I spent probably 3 hours writing 30 questions for Major League, which we did January 30th. Anyways, doesn't matter. January's Trivia Night. I spent a lot of time coming up with these trivia questions. I figured, you know what? I'm going to do like every grade 12 student in the world right now, and I'm going to use ChatGPT to cheat a little bit. So here's the prompt I gave ChatGPT just this morning. I said, write me an obscure and funny trivia question for the movie Moneyball with 4 multiple choice answers and tell me which answer is correct. So I'm going to relay this to you, okay?
Sure.
I'll give you all 4 choices and we'll see how well you do. So what animal is mentioned in the movie Moneyball that Billy Bean, the main character, is compared to? We have a gorilla, a chimpanzee, a baboon, or a monkey?
Oh, man. See, I can see Billy Bean as all those. I'm going to say a gorilla.
Correct answer, according to ChatGPT, a baboon.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I mean, ChatGPT is way smarter than I am, so.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend. You and me both. All right, speaking of two idiots talking baseball, let's dissect this Bo Bichette deal.
Yeah.
3 years, bought out the arbitration. It's not an extension, although I guess that is the term that is technically used.
Yeah.
How you feel about it? Let's just start with that.
I think it's a fair offer.
Yeah.
It's going to go, like, I mean, cost certainty for the next 3 years really helps. Cause you never know which way arbitration is going to go. It's not like the old days where the arbiter could just like split it down the middle or, you know, whatever. It's the player or the team. That's it. So, and you know, like this season, there was a $2.5 million difference. Who's to say next year it wasn't a $6.5 million difference? And you know, like that $6.5 million that's pretty big when you're trying to construct a roster. So knowing what you have to pay for the next 3 years is good. It also, I don't know, like, I'm sure they've talked about long-term deals, but maybe they haven't. It goes a long way. Like, for the next 3 years, they don't have to sit in a room and talk shit about each other.
Yeah, I know. That's a nice thing, you know, isn't it? Like, they don't have to get together in February and say, actually, here's why you're not worth what you think you are.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
look at how bad your defense is. Now they can just be nice for 3 years. I like it.
Yeah. Like, they can just, and I mean, I don't think, like, Bo, he's teachable, but I don't think he's a guy that loves getting criticized. You know what I mean? Like, he's an alpha dude, you know? He's like, like, I know, I'm working on it. You don't need to keep rubbing it in my face. So I think that it's just going to make things a lot smoother. You know, we don't have to even talk about his contract now for at least 2 years. So
I'm so encouraged, though, by the fact that $33.6 million with performance-based elevators, right? So I'm sure there'll be bonuses structured in. You know, he leads the league in hits again. There's another $500,000.
He'd be up to like 40.
Right. So that's when we were, I think it was the Andrew Stoughton on his Substack had kind of made the comparisons with Carlos Correa, Javi Baez, and Trey Turner. Right. And Trey Turner, over the last 3 years of his arbitration, made around, I think, $41 million. Whereas guys like Carlos Correa and Javi Baez, who were at kind of a similar point in their first year of arbitration, then had some statistical drops and only ended up making around $25 million. So it does feel like this is a, hey, we'll split it down the middle. You know, we'll meet in the middle. And I think that's got to be like a reason to be optimistic, is that both teams were willing to compromise for once. And, you know, especially after last year where Bo Bichette declined the team structured raise and just took the league minimum or whatever. It felt like a spite move, and it felt like some animosity and some posturing and stuff like that.
Like,
and for all the narrative out there that, well, Bo's going to bet on himself and he's going to take every dollar he possibly can, like, you can't ignore the fact that this is not that. This is not him saying, look, I am going to crush for 3 years straight. I'm going to be healthy for 3 years straight, and I'm going to get, you know, what could have been $45 million over the next 3 years in arbitration, you know, if he was truly betting on himself. So,
but
again,
that's why it's a negotiation. Like, it's, you know, like, if Bo could have bet on himself, and then Bo could also blew out his ACL this season.
Yep.
You know, so like, you have to take some of that financial security into account when you're signing these deals. Like, you know, Bo now is, I mean, he was always set for life. His dad made over $100 million. But I mean, independently, you know, independent of that, he is financially set now.
Well, and, I just felt up until this week that there was like, he was never going to take a deal or even have a consideration of a deal where we're offering him nine figures over 10 plus years any sort of a discount. He would not take a, you know, let's just throw a low number out there, $250 million over whatever, 10 years, right? He wasn't going to take that because he realizes, no, I can make 300, I can make 400, you know, if I really maximize everything. He will if he really maximizes things. But this is, I think, a little window into the fact that, like, maybe you could get, you know, a 280 or some kind of million dollar deal where we just buy out his whole career or something. And he goes, that's a nice secure $280 million. I'm just pulling these numbers out, but
yeah, I know. Like, that's a great point. I think this allows the Jays to kind of negotiate in good faith with Bo now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not negotiating from the, you know, well, you've airmailed 20 throws to Vlad last year, so we're going to hold that against you. Like, this, this opens it up saying, like, listen, like, we value you. You know, we need to, like, mend any tiny rift that might be brewing now. You know, like, you're our starting shortstop for the next 3 years. We can take a breather. We can go from there. But I mean, like, this doesn't guarantee a long-term deal, but it also takes a lot of stress off the team and off Bo for a couple of seasons. You know, like going into that last year of arbitration, obviously guys like you and me are going to be like, you know, are they going to re-sign him? Are they going to trade him? But that's 2 years away now. So I'm good with that.
It also makes him pay with a contract that is more representative of the caliber of player he is. And I know that, like, the pre-arb years, it's universal across the board and it is what it is. But last year he made $800,000.
Yeah.
And then he watches in, like, the international free agent pool where the Blue Jays hand out $4 million to a 16-year-old. And, like, I know that that's just, like, how Major League Baseball operates, and it is what it is. But that also has to be frustrating. So, man, go into the season and be like, yeah, I make it. I know it's, like, I think it's 6 years or 6 million in the first year, and then it does grow. But essentially, he's like, look, I'm making, like, $11 million a year over the next 3 years. Yeah. That's a substantial pay raise for him. And that's got to be a good feeling.
Imagine you going into work and saying, we're going to pay you 13 times what you made last year. Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So hopefully, hopefully the season works out for him. I have a lot of confidence that defensively he's going to take some big strides.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, we talked about it before about how, like, banning the shift, I think, is going to help Bo because he does throw better when his feet are moving. So if he has to use his range, I think that's going to benefit him. It's I have too much time on my hands throws that just kill him.
Get him out of his own head, make him out there having fun. Hopefully with the shift across the board, all positions defensively, this leads to more athletic plays, more highlights. And when that sort of stuff's happening, you're having fun too, right? Like when you're Bo Bichette and you're taking, you know, 14 steps and diving for that hard grounder up the middle and you get it. It's like, oh yeah. And you just feel like amazing.
Well, like, neither of us are pro athletes, but
we've all picked up a hot grounder in a slow pitch game and felt pretty good coming off the field. So
yeah, exactly. So
I think it's good. It'll be good for him. I'm optimistic. And again, this is also based on a little bit of, like, historic development. You don't have good, like, you don't have a lot of good defensive shortstops at age 24 and younger. Like,
no,
they're pretty rare. So coming into this season, 4 years in the league now, I'm really optimistic. I hope I'm right about this. Bo Bichette, 3-year deal with the Blue Jays. Vladdy, you're on deck, buddy.
15 year.
Hey, there you go. Okay, we're gonna talk some simple ways that baseball can get out of its own way when it comes to marketing itself and improving the fan experience, which is really who pays the bills at the end of the day, right? I know you sent me your list of five, and we'll get to them, but one of my biggest gripes, and I know there's reasons why they do it, but it's blackouts, right?
Oh, yeah, that's...
Like, if I'm paying $99 a month or a year or whatever my subscription is to MLB TV, and then I can't watch Blue Jays games on it, just because I live in Canada, like, and I understand, again, from contract issues, and it's a leverage play so that Sportsnet can broadcast and it increases the value of that. I get it, but blackout restrictions drive me nuts. If I'm on the West Coast and I want to watch a Mariners game, but I can't because I live in BC, that's a big gripe of mine. One way you can get around this problem, get a VPN. NordVPN.com/walkoff. Thank you to NordVPN for sponsoring the show. You can support us by supporting our sponsors. So go to NordVPN.com/walkoff and sign up there. Trick your device into thinking you're not in Canada, and then your blackout restrictions don't apply. If you're tuning in to MLB.com and your device thinks you're in Seattle, well, then you can watch your Blue Jays games all you want. So NordVPN, incredible value there. Special offer, it is 11 years of NordVPN. Happy birthday to them. They're not asking for presents, though. They're giving presents out. So everybody that signs up on a two-year plan will receive an additional subscription bonus, a mystery box of 3 months up to a year of additional free VPN services. So go to nordvpn.com/walkoff and support us by supporting our sponsors. Thanks again to NordVPN for supporting the show. Okay, Garth, let's talk your biggest frustrations with the MLB and some simple, cost-effective ways that Major League Baseball can get out of its own way and really market to that existing generation of fans, but also grow into the younger fan base. So,
well, MLB, as it stands now, has the oldest fan base of the four major sports in North America. And it's getting older all the time. They talk about like wanting to raise revenue, but they do that by, you know, charging outrageous amounts for seats and, you know, TV packages and stuff, instead of creating more fans with less money involved. You know, like if they increase their fan base by 50%, they wouldn't have to keep raising prices so much. So like there's a couple little things that they could do that would cost them basically nothing. My first one is take off.
All right. Welcome back, Garth. We got our internet sorted out.
All right. My first one is to like allow fair access to their highlight packages for content creators. Like guys like Foolish Baseball and Baseball Doesn't Exist, like these guys are doing more to grow the game as YouTube content creators than MLB is.
Agreed.
They're creating interesting mini documentaries that are just super fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I also watched on Bailey's other channel, Foolish Bailey, all the stuff he has to do to skirt MLB copyright laws. Like making the frame rate like a little bit slower and, you know, mirror imaging the image so that, you know, like,
yeah, it doesn't get picked up by the copyright detectors. You know, yeah.
So like just knock that shit off. Let people have that. Like say, okay. Like who's going to go back and watch a game a month from now and say, oh, like, don't tell me the score. I'm planning on watching that game. Like nobody. You know, so just let them have fair use and let them do whatever they want. You know, it doesn't really cost MLB a lot anything.
No,
it allows these people to have more access to better quality stuff to grow the game. You know,
hey, I'm right there with you. I think the video game industry learned this lesson in the past 5-10 years with websites like Twitch and even YouTube and stuff. There's so many people playing these games. It's free advertising, yeah. Right? Like, are there going to be a few people who are like, you know what? I don't need to buy the game because I'm going to just watch such and such play it on Twitch. There's going to be a few of those, but there's going to be so many more people who are like, I never would have bought that game, but it looks so much fun watching this guy do it. I want to try.
Yeah, like these guys are getting millions of views on their videos. And it's because they do a great job. And if you could just make that a little bit easier, like it just benefits baseball. It's a free advertisement. They don't even have to pay these guys. Like they're creating amazing baseball content.
Pretend
that is free to the MLB.
So, I'm just looking at Foolish Baseball right now. 46 million views across their channel there. Like that's, again, huge. If you were to pay someone to do that kind of advertising for your sport, it would be astronomical. So share away. Like you said, nobody is canceling their Sportsnet subscription because, you know what, I'll just catch the highlights on John Boy maybe in a week and a half.
That's just a no-brainer. It just makes so much sense, but you know, they got to squeeze out that last penny. They want people to pay for the, you know, the copyright package. And, you know, it's just, why?
I know. It's frustrating. Well, hey, this is something Scott and I have talked about doing too, is, you know, Jays and 30.
Yeah.
We've talked about if there was a way we could do a Jays and 13, kind of a parody of it, and do like a recap of last night's game and a preview of tonight's game, you know, looking at the lineups and stuff. We just can't risk it though. Like, we can't risk having our channels demonetized. You know, not that we're getting rich off of the YouTube ads or anything, but like,
no, but I mean,
it's make or break in the idea of getting some copyright strikes. Cause baseball's like, hey, you showed highlights from last night's game. So it is frustrating. And I agree with
you. And it's a simple fix.
Totally.
That literally costs MLB peanuts. So, the second one, I hadn't really thought about this until about a week ago. And I discovered, one of the like little micro channels on the Ringer.
Okay.
That Woz does. It's like, basically he just takes a look at NBA fashion and sneaker culture.
Okay.
And it's engaging. It's fun. I remember last year, it was the first time I saw it during All-Star weekend, where they basically had like the All-Star red carpet.
Right.
And people love that shit. Mm-hmm. They want to know what players are wearing, what sneakers they're wearing. You know, like, hey, Alek Manoah, where did you get that sweet t-shirt or that, you know, those sweet pants? Like, what's the brand? Like, and you see it like every night during the NBA. Like, they show the players walking into the arena.
Right.
Like, all decked out and you know, in their swag. And MLB doesn't do that. Like, we catch a odd glimpse of, like, a guy like Jazz Chisholm. But, man, like, why not just – they could make a half-hour show on MLB Network going around the league looking at, you know, who's wearing what. And even, like, broadcasts could, like, take 2 minutes out of their, you know, their gambling addiction to, like, focus on something that people might actually want to watch.
Yeah, well, especially the younger generation.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to market to 80-year-olds because you are either a baseball fan by then or you're not. You know, like you're not going to be like 80 years old and like, oh shit, Jazz Chisholm looks awesome. I'm going to start watching baseball. Like, I want 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds to see that, and you know, they're like, oh man, like that guy looks awesome. They just don't. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think also that would go really well with like TikTok and YouTube shorts and stuff like that. Even if just like the team itself was like, you know, if like at Blue Jays or whatever on TikTok was like, you know, hey, here's today's threads. And it's just a 60-second highlight of what Bo's wearing, what Vlad's wearing, what, you know.
Like, there's the female hockey league, the team in Toronto called the Six, they already do this on Twitter. Like, they show some of the women showing up to the rink, like, all decked out. And, you know, like, everyone loves it.
Like it.
Like, it's – that's another thing. Like, what's that going to cost to pay some 18-year-old intern to follow them around and ask them, like, hey, you know, like, those are cool shoes. Like, what are they?
The funny thing is, too, is, like, I mean, back to the YouTube and the copyright. Like, just to open that up, they wouldn't even have to pay a YouTuber. Like, a YouTuber would just do it and be like, yeah, I'm just going to make money on my end doing it. Like, just open the door, you know, give me the badge to stand in the hallway and give them creative freedom to do it. And,
give me a free pass and let me ask, you know, Bo what, you know, where he got his pants.
Yep. Oh, totally.
And like, it's a simple thing. It might sound stupid, but people were engaged last year at the All-Star game on that red carpet thing. People like loved it. Like, that was one of the best things about last year at the All-Star game.
There have been, like, we're griping about baseball. There have been little tiny inklings that I think baseball is finally starting to get it. They have a lot of work to do to catch up to the other leagues. But like you said, the red carpet runway at last year's All-Star game. I think they're dipping their toes in the water and they're seeing what they can make work, and they got to. They got to do something because,
man, like it's another cheap, easy fix. Like, none of the five options I'm going to read off today are going to take a fraction of a percent out of the pockets of the owners.
Of course,
like, you know, like both of the things I've said so far, are pretty much free.
Pretty much
that
free,
would help out the league. Like, you know, speaking of the All-Star game, I'm skipping the number four, but I'll double back to number three. An All-Star game reboot. I think baseball already has maybe the best All-Star game. Like, football is garbage.
A joke, right?
Hockey is garbage. Basketball, it's like 240 to the East, 238 to the West. Like, it's just, there's no D, there's no real game. But, like, baseball cares.
The actual game is good, yep.
Yeah, like, the game itself is good. But last year, they started with having a legend on each team. They had Pujols and Mickey.
Right.
And it was awesome, you know, like giving these guys.
Again,
like,
that's another inkling that like baseball's maybe starting to get it, right? They're trying things like this, and I love that addition. So
it's such a smart move. Such a smart move to let these guys like kind of have their last hurrah in front of, you know, everybody. But why not, like, with all the balanced schedules now and the DH, you know, is in both leagues, like it's not as big a gap between National League and American League anymore. They're basically the same. Mm-hmm. So why not have a draft? Televise it. Let the legends, one from each league, draft their team.
So the captains, you know, they draft the team. Schoolyard style. I love it.
Here, yeah, like they already have it in other sports, and it's awesome. It's always good TV. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, it's another televisable event, right? It's another hour-long show of trash talking and hurt feelings. And
it'll be funny. Like, you know the players are going to, like, talk shit to each other, you know? Like, man, wouldn't
it be awesome? Now, there'll be stuff where they, like, collude and are like, yeah, let's just leave Aaron Judge to the last pick or something like that, right?
Like, man, like, I would love to see, like, Gerrit Cole get picked last. Like, imagine.
No, totally.
Like, the sourness of his face would, like, it would collapse the universe in on itself, I think. Like, it'd be amazing. Like,
that would be good.
But also, like, with the All-Star game, like, we have the home run derby, and that's it. Mm-hmm. I've heard a few people mention different, like you're not going to have a fastest runner. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to risk your hardest throw. You're not going to risk $1 million, you know, arms and legs on that.
I hate that excuse. I've never once seen a hockey player go, you know what? I'm not participating in the hardest slap shot because I don't want to pull my groin. So I know we hear that excuse. I don't buy it.
Yeah, well, man, like I think they should, and I think if you ask the players, they'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
But the you're telling me that the owners talk or the players talk shit to each other all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I throw the hardest, I run the fastest, I hit the ball the hardest. Like, everybody shit talks in sports. Everybody. Yeah. So what kind of bragging rights would it be? Like, you know, I'm the fastest dude in the MLB. Mm-hmm. It'd be awesome. But you could also have other stuff like outfield accuracy, like have guys like throw balls into home plate and have like some kind of thing where they have to get the ball in. They get 10 throws and whoever gets the most in the little target, then they win. Or I heard another one, an around the horn where you have three players from a team and they don't have to be all-stars. They can just show up at the all-star game and do it. They do it in the NBA.
Right.
Where like, you get somebody like there are four guys. You get a catcher to chuck it to third, to chuck it to second, to chuck it to first, chuck it back to home, and the team that has the fastest around the horn wins. Like little things like that'd be fun. Like I would, you're telling me like watching Matt Chapman throw a baseball isn't enjoyable? Like I could watch that shit all day.
Okay, what about doing like weird non-baseball skills competition? We just watched the NFL Pro Bowl weekend. And none of their skills challenges really are football based anymore. Like I watched one that I thought would be great for baseball. It was like just the longest drive. They just went to a driving range. They took like linebackers and O-linemen were just crushing the ball. Some of them were like not golfers too. And were just like totally duffing it. I think that'd be like a fun alternative too, to like, I don't know how you'd make that work logistically,
like,
but
there shouldn't be any options off the table. Like if it's fun to watch, put it on TV.
Yeah,
on TV. Okay, that's kind of bringing me back to my third point. I skipped it to go to the fourth point. My third point.
I like this one, by the way.
Clubhouse access. Like, why do we not have a baseball Hard Knocks? I want to know what goes on in the clubhouse. You know, I want to see that, you know, 27th man who's fighting for that last spot in the roster. You know, like, I want to see that.
You want to see Matt Gage's heart be ripped out as he gets cut from the 40 man.
No, I don't. Fuck. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, it's good TV. Like,
gruesome shit. Right. But like, I think a lot of people enjoy knowing about the other side of the game. You know, the stuff that we do. And like, it just makes sense. Like, who wouldn't want to see like a rebuilding team that like maybe they hovered around 500 the season before and missed the playoffs, but they signed that big free agent. They have expectations. I want to see what the team looks like and like how they're feeling. And I want to see the emotions of these players.
Hey, you know what? This is the comparison to that NFL, I think, is frustrated by the advantage that the NBA has just in terms of like marketing their players and their personalities. One thing that the NFL, a hurdle they'll never be able to overcome, is that their stars are always wearing helmet with face shield. Yep. Like, you can't see them on the field. They are anonymous robots out there, essentially. Whereas basketball, it's like the face is there. You know, you see LeBron James as he's breaking the record. You see the sweat on the face, the all that stuff. And baseball has that. And baseball has that too, right? So like, I love it. I think people want to see more of the personalities. You know, we do prospect interviews on this show, and people love getting to see a guy who they've never even heard of, but just get to know him on a personal level, and then watch that guy, you know, 2 months later make his MLB debut. And there is a level of connection with a Taylor Cicedo where otherwise there wouldn't have been, right? And that access would be like, great.
I also, everyone loves Serge Ibaka's cooking show. Everybody who watches it loves it. Alek Manoah was on it. He was amazing. Even if you don't like Alek Manoah, even if you know, you're a Yankees fan and you hate him, he's an engaging dude to watch. And like, why isn't MLB coming to these dudes and like saying, listen, we're willing to help you. Like, you want a job in media after your playing day? We're willing to help you like start that platform now. You know, we think you're an intelligent, a fun dude who has something to say. You know, you have any ideas for, you know, even a every 2 weeks, some kind of a YouTube show or whatever. Like, get involved with the players.
I couldn't agree more. I think there's, especially with like, I mean, pro sports is such a, you have such a small window to be a professional athlete on the world's biggest stage. And unfortunately, I don't think many pro baseball players have caught on to that fact that, you know, while they are Santiago Espinal right now, 3 years from now could be out of the league. Right?
Definitely.
And I know, and I'm not trying to pick on Santiago Espinal. I love him. I just think there are guys that are Vladimir Guerrero that I think, you know, barring a car accident, is going to have a 15-year Hall of Fame, maybe, kind of a career, right? But those other guys who are like made the All-Star game, but like maybe aren't bound for a long storied career, have a window to, like you said, get their foot in for, like, look at Anthony Recker with MLB Network, right? Like, he did not have a mind-blowing MLB career, but, you know, got himself into broadcasting and stuff. And with like the YouTube and the podcast world that there is, you know, I see guys like, I can't think of their names now. I'm trying to not name Trevor Bauer, but unfortunately he's done it better than anyone, despite all the off-field nonsense and terrible stuff he's done.
The NBA, like, or even the NFL, like the Kelce brothers have a great podcast. It's hilarious.
Right.
Basketball, like, you say what you want about Draymond Green, his podcast is awesome. Right. Awesome. JJ Redick,
because he goes live right post game, doesn't he? He's like in the hotel room and he's like stream of consciousness after a loss and stuff like that.
But he also like brings in guests and like some like, and when he's talking to his guests, they're not, it's like me and you talking, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, there's no canned questions. There's no canned answers.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to watch.
I agree. Hey, you know what? I'd love to see a Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives type show starring Alec Manoa and Hyunjin Ryu, where they're just like, yeah, we're in Cincinnati for a road trip and we're going to go check out the local sushi hut or, you know, the, you know, fried chicken like, joint down in wherever, you know?
Yeah. That's another thing that like, it costs nothing. And like the teams themselves, their social media teams should be doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like, and if the player wants to go at it on their own, MLB should like help them and be like, listen, like we have people like we have the equipment.
We have the guys, like you just get the content and we'll put it all together for you.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
So, and that kind of almost leads me into my fifth item is like, we got to start broadcasting more minor league games. Like we have to, and don't make it so that I have to like find some weird Venezuelan stream or something. Like,
right. You're going on Reddit and you're like, hey, does anybody have a link to a whatever? And then, like you said, someone's like, go to Venezuela.tv and
put it right on Major League, right on their website. You know, like I'm not talking, you don't need a full broadcast team. You don't need 26 HD cameras at each field. Just a two camera setup where I can watch the guy that my team drafted in the, you know, high in the first round. I want to watch that.
Right. Right. So Ricky Tiedemann starting tonight. I want to tune in and just watch, right? Like give me the live feed from the play by play in stadium. I don't need a special crew or anything. Like there's already someone there calling the game. Yeah,
exactly. And like that would make me so much more excited when a prospect comes up. Yeah. Like when Vlad came up, it's different. You know, he had hype around him from the second he got signed as a 16-year-old.
Right.
But I mean, there are guys that are making their way up the ladder that, you know, are awesome. And I want to be able to like watch that and know what I'm getting into. You know, I can read all the scouting reports. I can read, you know, Baseball Perspective until my fucking eyes hurt, but it doesn't give me a real sense of what they're like as a ball player. Yeah. You know, like, oh, or Aurelvis Martinez hit a ball 114 miles an hour. Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Can I watch that? You know, like I don't, you can put that shit on paper all you want, but it's not the same as watching the game. I think like everyone in every streaming platform is angling for more content. MLB has like mountains of it and they don't show any of it.
Yeah.
You know, you have Venezuelan Winter League, you have, you know, the Dominican Winter League, you have Arizona Fall League, you have like all of this stuff. And I'm not saying they have to show every, you know, low A ball game or anything like that, but like, you know, why can't I watch a AAA game, a Double A game? Like it's good baseball. People will still watch it. And like, you know, we all off season we've been struggling to come up with topics to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had easy access to Venezuelan baseball, like the only thing that we mentioned was the Ronald Acuna thing.
Yeah,
that was it. But we could have been talking about how, oh, this player, fuck, he's balling out, man. He might be a dude.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes no sense that they're sitting on this mountain of content and they're not allowing anybody to see it.
No, I agree with you, man. It's even just like when you're getting rehab starts out of your guys, or you know, it's like, oh, how's Nate Pearson doing at the end of the year? You know, is he showing any signs of life for next year, right? And then you're trying to check the box score, and you're like, well, okay, I got the line, but I don't really. It's not always reflective of like, well, how did he pitch? You know, but to be able to see and like, oh, there's all 11 pitches he threw, and they were sick.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you see the box score, like you don't know if he went to a full count with every battery faced, you know, like you don't, it doesn't show any of that. Like last year, the most I saw out of the minor leagues last year was when Chris Sale lost his shit and started smashing TVs.
That's the only time
like I barely see anything, you know, as far as minor league stuff. And there's good players and you know, like the MLB needs to be more like the NFL is a 12 month a year league. Mm-hmm. The second the Super Bowl's done, free agency starts, mm-hmm. you know, and free, and then they have the combine and then they have the draft. And like, mm-hmm. they're a 365 day a year content generating machine. In baseball, it's like, World Series is over. Yeah. Now, let's not do anything for like, I don't know, 6 weeks.
See you in April.
There's a little, there's a little bit of a free agent frenzy, which like, okay, but like, but it's not baseball. It's just like angling for contracts. And that kind of gets old once the top 5 or 10 guys are off the board. Like, you know, like I don't really give a shit where Andrew Chafin pitches next year. Like he's still available, you know, like where is he going to sign? Like Andrew Chafin isn't going to make or break a World Series team. Like he's a good pitcher, but like, you know, like I don't give a shit about that. So why not have this type of content? Like, you know, all year round is, and like I said, like all 5 of these ideas are easily implemented and do not cost very much. You could probably put all 5 of these in for less than $1 million.
Yeah. Well, broadcasting minor league games might be the most expensive option on there just to install. Like you said, you'd want like one or two 4K cameras at the stadium, right? Because you still want the video quality to be good, even if it's not like a multi-angle thing.
I don't want you know Jeff sitting in the stand with his phone. You know?
Exactly. So, and I don't know the price of a 4K camera these days, but I know it's out of my budget. But you extrapolate that across 30 clubs, that might add up. But otherwise, yeah, everything else, like you said, all you're doing is.
But you don't have to put it in every stadium. You could just like have a traveling tech team that, you know, shows 2 games a week, like something.
I think I'd rather, if they were going to do that, just install one at every stadium and just leave it as a live feed that you don't even touch. It's just, here's like, the audio from the mic in-house. Yeah. Here's the PA announcer, you so you know who's up, coming up to bat right now. And
okay, but like split it up between like all 30 teams. Say, okay, from now on, your AAA stadium needs to have these 2 cameras. Yeah, I guarantee they're probably there already. Because they're already tracking like launch angle and pitch velocity and you know the break on sliders, like they already track all that shit in the minors. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the cameras are probably already there. You're
probably right about that. Yeah,
just turn them on and let me watch it.
I'm sure as much as we want to hear or we want to see how our Elvis is doing, I'm sure Ross Atkins is also happier to see footage of Nate Pearson throwing than just to get a verbal report from a coaching staff member. Yeah, he pitched great today. Okay, well, just send me the clip, you know?
And, like, this leads into, like fantasy baseball, like you know, the legacy leagues and stuff like that where you draft players that, like, you know, are rookies. Like, it just makes more people invested in younger players from the get-go.
Yep. I agree. All right, let's wrap it up there, Garth. I appreciate your time. You're back next Friday, I hope.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Man. We got
Mr. Honeymoon still away for a while.
Honeymoon still away, still in Africa.
I'll be here Friday, man.
Okay, sounds good. Towards the end of the month, we're gonna have a long toss. You come back for that?
Always love long toss.
Sounds good. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll catch you on the flippity flop. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and cracker chose to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.